You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the government officially announced plans to build a liquefied natural gas, or LNG, terminal in Taranaki, with the goal of finishing construction by next year or early 2028. The terminal is intended to provide a stopgap for New Zealand's energy network during dry years, where hydro sources may not generate sufficient energy to support the network. Coming at a cost of over $1 billion, a new levy on electricity users of $2 to $4 per megawatt hour will be introduced to help fund the terminal. However, the project has already faced criticism from groups such as Greenpeace, who pointed to the poor economic viability of the terminal and its further investment in fossil fuels during the climate crisis. To understand more, I spoke to Greenpeace's chief executive, Russell Norman, on the ramifications of this plan and possible alternatives for mitigating dry year risk. So starting off, did the decision by the government to pursue a liquefied natural gas import terminal come as a surprise?
Well, not really, in the sense that they had previously flagged it. And obviously the government's already got a track record of subsidising fossil fuels and climate destruction. So in that sense, no. But in another sense, I mean, it's kind of crazy, right? We're in the middle of a climate emergency after all the extreme weather events New Zealand's had. And the New Zealand government is choosing to tax people more to subsidise more climate pollution. I mean, it's completely bonkers. So in that sense, I guess it is surprising.
Right, and one of the big arguments that the government is trying to push to justify this decision is that it will come as a way to kind of shore up against dry years, against renewables like hydro and wind power. Is this a valid concern or a risk?
There's been a lot of work done over the last, decade really, about how to deal with the dry year risk, and there's many solutions that have been put on the table. Everyone looked at the LNG import facility solution and said it's not much of a solution because it doesn't really address the dry year risk because it doesn't produce enough energy. It's the most expensive option, and of course the greenhouse gas emissions are really high, and it sends the country's energy system in the wrong direction. Very few people supported the idea of an LNG import facility. I mean, the gas industry did, obviously, and the fossil fuel lobby, Energy Resources, Aotearoa, they supported it. But pretty much every energy expert thought it was a pretty stupid idea.
Right. So, I mean, to what extent does this decision indicate some kind of, path dependence by the government? I mean, we've seen them reopen gas and oil exploration even though we haven't had any kind of fines over the last 20 years. Genesis has stopped accepting piped connections to gas, and the Frontier report last year said that creating a liquefied natural gas terminal for dry years didn't really make any economic sense. So what is the real justification here?
I think you've got a government which is deeply committed to fossil fuels and trying to maintain New Zealand's dependence on them. Right from the moment they got in, they abolished the government investment in decarbonising industry, which was a big fund which was designed to reduce dependence on gas in particular, but fossil fuels more generally, and was already making good progress. They got rid of the New Zealand Battery Project, which was looking at how we could deal with the dry year risk through a hydro pump storage scheme. And so at each step along the way, they've removed the policies that would facilitate the transition away from fossil gas, and then looked at ways that they might maintain the dependence on fossil gas. So that was the $200 million of yours and my money that they want to give to oil companies for oil exploration, oil and gas exploration. And now the billion or $2.7 billion all up they're going to take from us to build this ridiculous LNG import facility. So they have a very 1950s fossil fuel dependence kind of mindset. It's basically the policies are identical to Trump's. And so in that sense, that's the kind of government they are, and they're going to keep pursuing these policies. But from the point of view of the New Zealand energy system, I think they're going to slow things down and make it worse, and we're going to burn billions of dollars. We're going to waste money. But it's going to be hard to stop the transition, so they're trying to stop it. But already a lot of the businesses that are highly dependent on cheap gas have closed. And whatever they do isn't going to change that. A lot of businesses are transitioning off gas. Gas is going to get more and more expensive over time. So this transition has begun. Obviously, the government's trying to slow it down with all the taxpayer subsidies, but it's pretty much unstoppable. And really, we need to, embrace this transition away from fossil fuels rather than fight it tooth and nail.
Yeah, and kind of going along with that, I mean, what's the opportunity cost here when we consider how, you know, since this terminal will cost $1 billion of capital, and they're looking to impose a $2 to $4 levy on each megawatt hour that people use, what's the opportunity cost here when that kind of funding could be redistributed to renewables?
Yeah, I mean, imagine if the government had announced instead that they were going to invest in more renewables and storage for the New Zealand energy system, it would make a dramatic difference. So, yeah, I mean, not to mention the $200 million they're spending on oil and gas exploration, which is no doubt going to come up with nothing. So, yeah, I mean, there's a big opportunity cost. All that money we could be using to transition our energy system away from fossil fuels. I mean, the great thing about New Zealand energy system is that, you know, aside from oil, we have an opportunity, like we've produced a lot of our own domestic energy and gas is coming to an end. We can electrify the transport system as well as, you know, invest in cycleways, walking, cycling and public transport. And we reduce the cost of imported energy dramatically because we spend so much money importing energy for transport, for the transport system. So, you know, we have this great pathway in front of us, and the government's just slowing it down and making it hard. I don't think, in spite of Luxon and Shane Jones and Winston Peters and David Seymour, in spite of all their efforts, I don't think they're going to stop this transition, but they are going to cost us billions of dollars in wasted investments on the way, and they're going to slow us right down.
So what kind of investments would make a better, for example, shoring up against dry years? You mentioned battery kind of networks. What would that look like and how would that improve our electricity dependence going away or transitioning from fossil fuels?
So if you think about think about it at kind of three levels. Like one level is the kind of whole electrification of everything that's going on, which will just continue to happen, right? And that's things like household heating, for instance, space heating in households. It's things like electric cars, which has just begun, but it's going to keep happening because they're just in the long term much cheaper. So you go, okay, this is great because if we've got renewable energy generation that sits behind it, then that's a good thing. And then the second issue is, okay, you've got to build more renewable generation. So that's more solar, it's more wind, it's more geothermal. And we've got some really good offshore wind opportunities in Taranaki as well now that we've beaten the seabed mining proposal down there. But the thing about all of those is you have to balance the short-term variability. And so that means you need more storage in the system as well. Lots of places have put a lot of storage now in, and that's both like household batteries, it's utility-scale batteries, large batteries into the network. And they're really working well now to get through your evening peak load. So in a country like New Zealand, we have winter evening peak loads when people come home. And so we need the storage in the system from the solar during the day and the wind and the geothermal to get us through the evening peak loads. And then New Zealand, because it's an isolated electricity grid, it has a third problem, which is relatively unique, which is hydro is a significant part of the system right now, about half of all generation. Occasionally we have dry winters and so there's not enough water in the dam. So how do we get ourselves through that situation? Because if you electrify everything and we're all dependent on all this great electricity from renewable sources and then you have a shortage of electricity, it is a significant problem. And so that's why the previous government was exploring the battery project. Greenpeace was on the panel for that. And so basically your options there is you've got big pump hydro, so you could go for a big centralized scheme. And so there were some options looked at down there in terms of a big centralized hydro pump hydro scheme, which would provide a huge battery, much bigger than any lithium ion battery on the planet, like 1,000 times more energy. Or you can overbuild renewables, so you put in more renewables than you generally need so that you can cope with the dry year, or you put in multiple bits of storage around the place, so you don't necessarily go for one big centralized option. The other part of it is demand side management, so like if you can reduce your demand during dry year periods, then that can help us a lot as well. And we've already done quite a bit of that with the aluminium smelter down in Bluff. So there's a bunch of pieces to the puzzle. And so the lithium-ion batteries that people put in their houses, and is going to become more and more common, they're fine for the kind of 24 to 48 kind of hour cycle of meeting shortages in generation. But they don't deal with like a three-month dry year period. And that's why an isolated electricity system like New Zealand needs a significant kind of either storage or demand side management or overbuilding new renewable generation to deal with the dry year risk that happens every now and again.
That was Greenpeace's chief executive, Russell Norman, on the climate and economic costs of the liquefied natural gas terminal and alternative approaches to mitigating dry year risk in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.